You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
You want people to see your new car. You want them to see your new shoes. You actually take a picture of your shoes and put them on Facebook. Why? Because in your life, nobody ever commended your footwear. Now, you don't divorce yourself from those emotions and actions once you become a Christian. The Holy Spirit is not responsible for removing narcissistic behavior. His job is to teach you the principles of the Word of God so that you will remove the bad behavior. See, we think he's supposed to come in. He's supposed to take the cigarettes out your mouth. He's supposed to take the liquor out your hand. No, he's not. What he's supposed to do is teach you why these things are harmful for your body. And then you say, I'm not doing it anymore. See what I'm saying? All right, now these folks are following after Jesus. Why? Because it's easy. If I stick with him, he'll feed me. But Jesus says, I'm no bakery. Now, I did what I did, but that's not why I did it. Lord, help me. I did it so that you will know that I have the power to do it, but I'm not going to do it all the time. But that doesn't mean that I don't have the power to do it. What we go through is God's way of saying to us, if you look in your past, you see that I could have delivered you. But if I did not deliver you, then you must look deeper to find out what lesson you're trying to teach me while I'm in it. You can never say that God cannot deliver you. What you have to say is, Lord, what are you trying to show me while I'm in this? God, help me. So they said to him, watch, they're still thinking fishes and loaves. And in verse 28 of John 6, they said unto him, what shall we do? Now I'm going to paraphrase here. The text says that we might work the works of God. I'm going to change it. They're saying, what should we do so we can multiply fishes and loaves? Then we don't have to follow you. And that's exactly where we are today. If I can get God to work for me the way I want, then I don't have to sit in a church service. I don't have to sit under a pastor. And Jesus said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him who he has sent. Now, this is going to be the most difficult thing I've ever said in 31 years of pastoring Bethel. The work of God is that you believe what I bring you. When I step up in this pulpit, whatever you know about me in the natural, cancel it out and see me as God's spokesman. And if you believe what I tell you, that's the work of God. Now, I know we're going to say Jesus was talking about himself. Yes. But then God, knowing that Jesus wouldn't be here physically anymore, gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastor teacher to stand in that place so that you might receive what you need to help you believe. If you're listening to the Word of God all week, that's stimulating your faith because faith comes by hearing. Here's the caveat, the thing you have to be aware of. Once you get saved, God gives you a measure of faith. It's what I call jumpstart faith. He gives you enough to get started. Then the more you hear the Word of God, your faith grows until you can believe. But there's a problem with the belief. The problem with belief and faith are not the same. Faith comes by hearing. The more of the Word of God you're going to believe, you're going to have faith. The more of the Word of God you hear, your faith will grow. It comes that way. But believing is after the Word is in you and you hear what the Scripture says and you do it. Watch. You know that God said, if you give, I'll give back to you. You know that he said, I'll give it 30, 60, and 100 fold. But you don't believe it, so when offering time comes, many don't give. Because they say, I don't have it. Now, you've heard that scripture time and time and time again. So you know it's true because it's coming from the word of God. And you do have the faith. But you don't believe God's going to give you back what you gave because you don't do it. You don't believe it. But you have faith. But you don't believe he's going to give it back to you 30, 60, and 100-fold. And I'm not saying that to indict you, but it's the best example that I can give you for the belief. You have the faith to get healed, but you keep using the personal pronoun before your sickness. My diabetes, my arthritis, my high blood pressure, my cancer. But we never say my healing, my blessing, my deliverance. Listen carefully. What is the Lord trying to shift? Your belief system. Listen carefully. Jesus says in Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 23 and 24, I assure you, if anyone says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his mind. The King James says heart. But you know this is just a muscle. It doesn't feel. When you say, oh, you broke my heart. Nobody breaks your heart. Your heart's still pumping. It ain't broke. Okay? It doesn't feel. When the Bible says if you believe in your heart, because the mind is truly the center of your life. When the Bible says, out of the heart flows the issues of life, he's not talking about this, the cardia. He's using that word for the center. And what is the center of your life? Your mind. A principal argument in the medical community is a person dead if the heart stops beating or there's no electrical current coming from the brain? Most doctors side on that there's no electrical current coming from the brain. Why? Because I can do CPR if a heart has stopped beating. I can shock them with the paddles if the heart has stopped beating. But if the mind stops, you dead. If you have a bad heart, you become a candidate for a transplant. And they can give you somebody else's physical heart. But no one gets a brain transplant. The only person that ever got a brain transplant was Mr. Spock on Star Trek. Because they had the ability to do it. Dr. McCoy did it. But we would never, once you have a deteriorating brain, you're done. So then it appears that your mind has become the most important part of your existence in the spiritual. Your brain is the most important part in the physical. Now, your brain only weighs about 6.7 pounds. It's not large at all. It's usually about the size of your fist, maybe a little bigger. But it consumes 20% of your body's energy. Because of what it has to fuel all day long. Your brain has to send signals through your nervous system, throughout your entire body. Your brain, my brain right now, is telling my left hand to get up and move around. And it's telling my right hand, hold on to that microphone. And if somebody don't look at you right, throw it at them. My brain's saying all that at the same time. I'm quoting scripture to somebody, my brain, and I'm sitting there quoting scripture, but my other part of my brain is saying, I wonder what it would be like to take that pencil and stick it in their ear. The brain is vast. Right now, you're sitting there listening to me, but part of your brain is focusing on dinner. That's why it takes so much energy. You're sitting there, I hope he gets done, because I left my meatloaf out, and the turkey is thawing out, and I got plans, Bishop. Come on, get to the shouting part. But you're listening to me, and nobody knows that your brain. You're sitting there looking over the congregation and seeing somebody and saying, I wonder who that is. I ain't never seen them before. I wonder who's sitting next to them. And your brain is doing all that. Why did God make it that way? Because he needed it to be able to dream. So if your brain is not flexible, God can't use you. You have to be able to dream. Secondly, he needs the brain to be strong because it's that brain that carries you through the difficulties of life as you begin to ponder. This is identified to us in the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk ponders his situation that causes him to bring God legitimate questions. People who don't ask questions have dead brains. You can't learn till you ask questions. The learning process begins with the asking of questions. Lord, help me. Now, just go with me because the attack of the devil is not on your spirit. He don't care if you shout up and down and bounce up and down on the chairs and tear up the furniture. He don't care. He don't want you to think. He doesn't want you to ponder. He doesn't want you to consider. He doesn't want you to believe. So the only thing that the Bible ever told us to fight was the fight of faith. He never told us to fight the devil. He never told us to fight people. The only thing we're supposed to fight is to hold on to our faith because that gives our belief the fuel to keep on going. And listen, if you believe you're going to die, you're going to die. You're going to find a way to do it. But if you believe you're coming out of something, if you believe that you're going to be healed, if you believe that this battle is not yours, if you believe that whatever you're exposed to is temporary, it shall be. Listen to Jesus. I want to take you somewhere. I'll take you there. Let me take you there. Oh, ho, ho, ho. Let me take you there. I can't get no bass player to help me now. Watch this. I assure you, if anyone says to the mountain, be lifted and thrown to the sea, and does not doubt the action in his mind, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done. It appears that the mechanism to move the things of God and to ensure the miraculous stem from your belief system. When your belief system is shattered, everything will be affected. If you trust somebody and you take the chance to trust, you take the chance to love, you take the chance to be, and then something happens that's contrary to that, you're almost defeated. Why? Because you believed one thing. Now you believe something else, and you can't exist because a double-minded person is unstable in all their ways. If you believe that God can do something and then you substitute it with human belief, you're going to be frustrated because God won't do it like humans. God won't do it like humans. Understanding the heart of God, understanding the plan of God, the ways of God, cause us to believe him different. No one has ever read the theological writings, anointed preaching. No one has ever given credence for Job's test. We can't even speculate how God would take someone that is innocent and subject him to the diabolical plan of the devil. And some of you in here are going through that right now. And the first words out of your mouth are, Lord, why is this happening to me? Well, here's the reality. God wanted it to happen to you. Remember, you said he was a good God. Now what you have to do is embrace it and said, Say, whatever God wants for me is good for me. David said something that was pre-New Testament. David was not filled with the Holy Spirit. David did not have the revelation of the complete sovereign will of God. David said, it was good for me to have been afflicted. For in the affliction, I learned your principles. You hear what he says? Now, could God have taught those principles without the affliction? He's God. We can never say no. He's God. But he chose the affliction. Why? Because he knew that the affliction would make your mind vulnerable for instruction. When things are not going your way, where's the first place you run? God. You start stepping up your church attendance. You start getting more involved. Folks, I never seen at prayer before. You at prayer every Wednesday. I know when you're going through because you in prayer. You sitting, you know, close to the service on Sunday. You're hanging around afterwards, connecting with us. You ain't never talked to nobody in 30 years. Now you're going to fellowships, doing all ministry stuff. Go over and say, Rob, I want to sing on the choir. Before, you never did any of that. Why? You in trouble. And you're trying to find a way out. And God will let you work on all those ministries, but he still won't deliver you. And this is how he knows that you haven't learned the lesson. Because you're trying to get involved in work. And you're avoiding him. He's saying the reason you're in this mess is because you're doing a lot of running. Come sit with me. See, the truth... Listen, some of you now, your marriage has evolved into empty nesthood, and you are having the most difficult time of your marriage. There are no children to deal with. There's nothing in the house but you and her, or you and him. That's it. And you found out that you can't stand each other. No. Don't laugh. It's true. It's a truism. Hear me. As long as you had little children, y'all could work together with the children. As long as you had, you know, other things in the house, you could deal with that. But now it's just the two of you. You can't even talk to each other at the breakfast table. Can't even talk to each other. Why? You have nothing in common. The only thing you had in common, they're now gone. The house is paid for. Everything. So now you found out you don't have anything in common. Because you have not mastered relationship. When you got married, you had plans. When you were in it, the plans were being realized. Now when the plans have matured, you have nothing. That's how it is with God. When you first get saved, you're at prayer every night, praying all night long on Friday, talking to him regularly, bringing him, casting all your cares upon him. But then when you get comfortable, God can't find you anymore. So he says, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send some stuff in your life. And I'm never going to let up on it. Because I like you so much. I love your presence so much that I'm going to let the devil do just enough to drive you to me, but not enough to bust you. And some of you are going through that today. Do you know what's being assaulted? Your belief system. Heaven operates on belief. Jesus says it here. You can speak to the mountain will move. He said, anything you pray for and believe that you've received them, past participle, it means that you already see it happen. He said, if you believed that you had it before you asked, he said, you will have them. If you have somebody in your life and you're about to take a trip with them and you go and buy two tickets before you even ask them, you do so because you know they're going to say yes. But if you're unsure, you have to ask them first because your relationship is not so solid that you can make the decision knowing that they will say whatever you want to do. That means you've believed. It's perfect. It was completed in a process. Jesus says that if you speak in faith, but while you're speaking, you've already believed that it's going to happen, which was the thing that caused you to speak anyway. In other words, you are speaking to something that's already been done.
We pray that you are blessed and encouraged by the message you heard today. To order today's message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. When ordering, refer to the program title, If You Can Just Believe, or the program number, 06219P. If you'd like to download today's message or any other recent sermons from Bishop Lambert, visit ericlambertministries.com for the complete digital download. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can now be viewed nationally on the Impact Network on Sunday mornings at 7:30 a.m., Comcast Channel 294. Be sure to visit BethelDeliverance.org to find out when to catch the Climbing Higher TV and radio broadcast in your area. For service times, location, and more information about Bishop Lambert and Bethel Deliverance International Church, go to our website at BethelDeliverance.org, follow us on social media through Facebook and Instagram, or contact us at 215-885-2585. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher in the Word of God.
Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. invites you to three nights of discussions that will empower you to grow closer with the Lord and fulfill God's plan for your life. It's happening Wednesday, July 17th, Thursday, July 18th, and Friday, July 19th at 7 p.m. nightly in the main sanctuary of Bethel Deliverance International Church. It is Bishop Lambert's heart for every believer to understand the principles of God, develop a renewed mind, and strive to achieve an abundant life in Christ. Plan now to be a part of these three nights of interactive discussions that will enlighten believers as we prepare to develop and move to the other side of growth in our life with Christ. We look forward to seeing you Wednesday, July 17th through Friday, July 19th at 7 p.m. nightly. Call 215-885-2585 for more information. Join Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. and Pastor Brian M. Weatherspoon as they present another in-depth study of ministry training at the next Making of a Minister session on Saturday, July 27th at 10 a.m. at Bethel Deliverance International Church. Come prepared to delve into biblical exegesis and learn how to craft your sermon. These sessions are free, but you must register to attend. Call 215-885-2585 to register today. That's 215-885-2585. For more information, visit www.betheldeliverance.org. Don't miss these empowering sessions that will equip you with the proper tools for preaching and teaching the Word of God. We look forward to seeing you at the next Making of a Minister session, Saturday, July 27th, at Bethel Deliverance International Church. Iron sharpens iron.
The Climbing Higher radio broadcast features dynamic teaching brought to you by Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. and the media ministry of Bethel Deliverance International Church. Through this outreach, believers are empowered to walk in daily victory. Non-believers are enlightened to seek a relationship with the Lord. Families are strengthened through teachings that examine dynamics of their relationships. And overall, the Lord is being lifted up through the airwaves around the globe. We invite you to partner with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. and Bethel Deliverance International Church as we seek to impact our culture with the unadulterated Word of God and the power of our living Savior, Jesus Christ. The Word of God changes lives, and in these last days, we need to reach as many souls as possible with the message of truth. Jesus saves. He not only came to save our souls from eternal damnation, but He came to give us abundant life while here on this earth. You can help us reach the world with this message. Simply go to the BethelDeliverance.org media tab and scroll down to the Bethel Media Outreach Partnership link to safely give online with a one-time gift, or you can set up recurring payments for monthly donations. It's safe, quick, easy, and impactful. For more information or to speak with a representative, call 215-885-2585, extension 409. We thank you for standing with us as we continue to further the kingdom of God.